It's the Monday edition of Down to Brass Stats. I am your moderator, Corey Lane. We go until 2 p.m. Producer, technical operator, Dennis DJ Johnson. The WhatsApp says, Corey, my issue here is the Nation newspaper. Are they now hired by the Immigration Department? What evidence does the Nation have that they have concluded that the squatters are illegal immigrants? Mr. Marshall needs to come and clear up this comment. Another one says, Corey, stop pretending that you don't know that the majority of these squatters are foreigners. You are forgetting about the letter sent by the foreigner to the relatives in another country inviting them to come to Barbados for some of the free land they got. Another thing, Corey, hundreds of complaints were made to town and country planning about foreigners building houses without permission on government lands. Surely you know about this. Stop trying to be nice to wrongdoing. This other one says, hi Corey, I am very concerned about our youth on the blocks all day and just smoking weed. Who will lead in another 20 years? And on International Youth Day, I'm proud to say that there are many young people out there doing actually very, very good things. There are ample number of people to lead. The question may be, who will they lead and not who will lead? Two more, we go back to the lines. This one, it says, the authorities are more ignorant than the people building those houses and homes. Almost every time they come and talk about the situation and they do not take any action. You're going to tell me that they're building and no one haven't seen or saying anything? This has got to be madness. If I decide to do anything on my home, the authorities, they can get here as soon as the sand and blocks start to offload. So tell me why those houses and homes move from 36 to 300. Madness on the authorities. Madness on the homeowners. Both of them need psychiatric evaluation. And I am dead serious, Corey. Last one. Hi, long time listener. First time on WhatsApp. What's going on with the people who are still paying bills to Ozone? On another point about the squatters, in my opinion, town and country planning are to blame. I would love to call in. And you should. Just let the producer know you're a first time caller. And I'm sure we can make some space for you. Good afternoon and welcome down to Brass Stacks. You're on the air. Hi, good afternoon. Hello, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
The man of Hamashiach, Emperor, this last day first. The goose, the gaster, the dinner, the ditch, the barber. How are you doing, sir?
I, Irie. Yes, I am.
Yes, well, the last time we spoke, I think we was talking about the election and the process and a lot of discrepancies that occurred. And how we ended to 30 love.
And we said
we would hope that some kind of investigation will launch that these things will not reoccur. The sense that we end up in a tailspin. And now we are in the period of emancipation, which, as I said, is a time of reflection. And I must say that when we have firmly and finally weaned ourselves from off the breast of colonialism, will we then truly be able to assert our rightful place in our history as rebuilders, replenishers, and restorers of our dynasties and kingdoms? Now, Mr. Lane, I must say that the pillars are essential to anything. You know, pillars are essential to building something that is substantial. And the pillars for all emancipation, because emancipation is a process and is something that must take time. And I don't think it's something that can willy-nilly be jumped from one year to the next. The institutions of economics, which is to help to build to get infrastructure and things like that. And the pillars of education, which is supposed to empower the people so that they can continue on that development. You know, judiciary, another pillar which is essential in terms of able to maintain law and order and able to keep those pillars in place. Religion, which is the spiritual basis of the people. The politics, which is supposed to obviously able to advocate the persons and the people's necessities in terms of development. Health, which is to preserve those people's development, and labor, which is very essential in terms of any nation building. Now, I think that all of these pillars are necessary to be emancipated. Because if you just look at emancipation, just a word and just a day, we do not see that these foundations are the things that are necessary for emancipation to take place in, if you understand what I mean. Because if you have institutions and is dictated by foreign interests such as banks, the nation will then become re-enslaved. So for emancipation to independence, I think, is a necessary process, because even in that, self-sustainability and sovereignty where sovereignty means you have the process of self-determination. So you're able to make decisions that are indirectly your own, and they cannot be mamagated by anyone upon the outside.
I wanna start where you started by saying we are in the season of emancipation, or in the time of emancipation. And words are powerful and words have meaning. I think we are observing the emancipation time or something like that. But I don't believe we are in any season of emancipation, or we are in a time of emancipation. Because my understanding of emancipation is very different to some of the things that I've heard and I've read. You said that you can't do this thing. It has to be done over a period of time. And I agree. My question is, how much emancipation have we seen in our society, in our lifetimes, or in our recent history?
Yeah.
My other question is that we got physical emancipation at one point. They took off the shackles. We got political independence at another. But what about the financial emancipation and the mental emancipation? There's no re-enslavement. We are still enslaved.
You're speaking again to the pillars. That's what I'm saying. The pillars that are necessary that this process will really bear fruit.
But do you see any? Do you see any
transitional era?
Do you see any evidence that we're moving in the right direction?
Well, far more than that, I am saying that we were struggling from Erbaa's time. We were struggling because obviously Erbaa utilized the sustainable development in agriculture, which was sugar, mm-hmm. and he was able to use that business to help propel education in other areas.
Funny you mentioned that, because people see agriculture as slavery. a lot of people teach the children, no, get out of the fields. That is slavery.
The context of what agriculture was.
Mm-hmm,
but
correct.
If you put it in the context that when you was in Africa, before you was enslaved, you were planting, you were having your own cash crops. Now look at it in this context, Mr. Lane. You took me from planting my crops, my own cash crops in Africa. You displaced me. You took me on a plantation and forced me to plant your primary crops, which is cotton, tobacco, and sugar cane. Now, this is what I'm saying. In the process of emancipation, that means that when I become independent, when I become emancipated, I am supposed to reclaim that which was taken from me. So I am actually supposed to be going back to the continent in terms of that development. This is what I must give a kudos to what has happened in this time since the president of Ghana have come here, the president of Kenya have come here, because this is things that we were speaking about before. Mm-hmm. I was part of the movement when Aiko Tofa was head of the Pan-African Commission, and we were speaking of developing of airline flight to Africa to the Caribbean, mm-hmm. because obviously our redevelopment is essential in Africa development. We cannot isolate it because the Chinese have accomplished where they have accomplished because they've seen it in a continental outlook. The Indians have also attained it because they look at themselves in a continental outlook. The Europeans have facilitated that process because they have a continental outlook. It is only we that call ourselves Belgians, Trinidadians, Vincentians, this other kind of colonized names, and do not see ourselves in a continental vision. Is that the way we are still displaced? Now, I must say that what has happened there in terms of the governments of Africa extending a hand of friendship in collaboration with the Caribbean, because they see that the Caribbean is necessary. And Barbados, essentially, because Barbados right now still has one of the strongest dollars in the world, which is being undermined by the IMF and these other cloaks and oaks and other institutions that are being introduced. Mm-hmm. Because we always must remember that neocolonialism is another form of colonialism. And you must, as a person that of interest that has youth on the UK, you must explain to the younger generation what is neocolonialism. It is the fears of some person that looks like you, but the interest is of the same person that had you enslaved. And I want to know if Barbadians today are really analyzing the situation at a grown level, because they have raised the taxes that the poor has to pay. And you have removed the taxes that the people that have more should pay. So it's a conundrum, because you're speaking of development, but in terms of development, the people are being left behind, the people are being displaced, the people are being disenfranchised. And we have already come from a disenfranchised position, trying to pull ourselves but our bootstraps up. And now we are trying to reach a certain level. It is like the banks and these other institutions are kicking down the ladder from generations to be able to achieve a certain level of development. And if you are saying that we are talking about independence, sovereignty and self-sustainability is essential, even like the terms of renewable energy. Now, renewable energy is reducing the amount of fossil fuels that you need to buy to bring into the fuel your economy. Now, if you're planting a plant that can produce energy, you are able to help sustainable yourself. And also, if you're planting your own food, you're able to sustain yourself. If you're building things that are exporting, you're able to sustain yourself. But if you're only a commodity, if you're only a consumer, one thing here about customers, no, here about consumers. What is a consumer? He's just there to consume. Where is the people? Where is the people involved? Because you're not classified as a consumer. From being a slave to a consumer, how far have we gone? So that's what I'm saying, sir. You must analyze what emancipation is and the processes necessary for we to achieve the maximum benefit of what it was supposed to be intended towards. Because right now the politics is neocolonial, straight and plain. The politics of Barbados is neocolonial. It swears to a foreign entity. It has no regard to its history. And only now since Africa has extended its hand that we are seeing some semblance of Africanness in our politicians.
Okay. All right, thank you. Good points. I wanted to look at what are some of the other things you believe that we can do, the partnerships with Africa. I believe that can bring some measure of financial independence and so on. But we need to look at this strategically, and we most importantly, we have to implement. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Lane.
Hey, good afternoon, man.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Corey, I'm doing wonderful. Mm-hmm. I called the program this afternoon, Corey, because I haven't heard former Minister for Housing and Lands, Dennis Kelman. I really had to call this program as it relates to this whole sporting, because a number of things must be taken into consideration. And Corey, you are aware that there's an elephant in the room, right?
Yes, there are elephants. We have a zoo.
Yeah, as it relates to this whole issue of sporting, because that all of us know that the sporting didn't take place overnight, right? Now, mm-hmm. The same squatters who are now referred to as foreigners were canvassed by two members, a former member of parliament and a now existing member of parliament, Dr. David Estrick and the sitting member Sonia Brown. They would have to be canvassed by these individuals. Right? Why I prepared to accept the fact, Corey, that Song and Country Planning would have had a major role to play as it relates to the sporting of these individuals. We must understand one thing, Corey, that the public servants in this country take direction from their overseers. You understand the language I'm speaking, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you understand. My thing is, where that is concerned, I have a slightly different thought process. The overseers, as we call them, are the policy makers. They make the policy, but those persons, they have a job to do. Their job is legislated, so they just need to do their job. Now, when you get political interference, now that's something different. That is where we draw the line and we make the distinction.
But Corey, let us first find out then if any of the persons who are squatting at Rock Hall are registered voters in this country. And if they are registered voters in this country, they will not be voting for anybody who works to encounter country planning.
No, I understand. I understand the point that you're making. Please understand mine.
Good. I understand yours, but mm-hmm. and this is what I don't understand. I need to find out what is the percentage of the persons squatting in Rock Hall. Is it all non-nationals or Barbadians are a part of the individuals squatting at Rock Hall? Have any person came forward with such information for you?
Mm-hmm. No, not that I am aware of.
Good. Now, this is now people who normally would squat don't squat because they deliberately want to do so. Frustration, circumstances, and all types of other things create the circumstances for which they make such decisions. Right? I'm not saying that it is right, but here's here's the irony, Corey. Now, the former Minister of Housing and Land was very quick to point out a whole set of things to you this morning. Now, here it is that in the last administration, 106 acres of ground land was leased for 99 years at less than $2 per square foot to a single investor. Right? Now, we have not only non-nationals, but we also have citizens in the country who may not be spotting, but they be living in conditions that are not conducive to them at this time. And some of them are public servants in this country. And they were depraved of a government who says, let us look at developing a parcel or a portion of this land and make it available for the citizens of the country. There was times when citizens of the country went into the bell and the squat. But you know the problem is, Corey, that persons are elected in this country. And sometimes it begs the question as to whose interest is being served when persons are elected. Because that in the second half of the 21st century, the citizens of this country should not be living in such circumstances where they're going to be renting and getting evicted from rent houses and all different nonsense when the government is one of the largest owners of land in this country, and that public servants in this country cannot be given an opportunity to purchase land at $5 and $4 a square foot. But we can find the time to take about 106 acres of ground land and give it to a single investor for 99 years at less than $2. And then we complain about squatting.
But let's put all of that into context, because whereas I did have my issues with that as well. If we look at this comprehensively, right, you realize that both are almost the same. And let me explain. You have a situation where the former Minister of Housing made the point that housing has to be corrected by the government. Now, the government at that time could argue that we are entering into a public-private sector arrangement where we see more housing, because more housing is the root of the issue. So the $2 should facilitate affordable housing. It doesn't always work that way, but it is supposed to facilitate affordable housing. So walk with me. I look at the policy positions at the philosophical level of the last two administrations. You had the last administration, especially under Minister Lashley, being highly commended post-2008 for fantastic housing policy. You had the housing area over there between side. Going, you got other houses going, you built the most houses, and he was given a star of commendation on his chest, right? Now, you can say that government addressed housing by putting a number of houses out there for Barbadians to acquire. On the other hand, you had the Owen Arthur administration, and when you look at the philosophical position put by that administration, what Owen Arthur did and said was, we are going to increase jobs. Jobs, number one, is jobs. We are going to get a good economy so people can go get their mortgage, get their money, build their own homes. I don't even know if it was said as a housing policy, but it was a housing practice. Now, we got to take a break, right? Stick a pin right there. We're going to be right back. Yes, sir. We are back. You were saying?
Yes, Corey. The challenge I'm having for you, and the question must be asked, whose views were canvassed as it relates to public servants in this country? Because it is okay to make land available and build houses. Corey, everybody don't want to be in a mortgage setting.
Correct.
That hold them hostage for 35 years.
Correct.
And 33 years of their lifetime.
I agree.
And that there are individuals who would like to have the opportunity that once the land is being made available to them, that they can buy two siding boards here this morning and a bag of cement the next week, and make use of what they have until they get a comfortable home for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that it can't be the view of any government to believe that they can force upon the public servants in this country having a made land available, and you can bring in a contractor to build a whole set of houses that look similar to Watchman Hut and talk about starter homes. We can't owners to them, and who are interested in having a home erected that wanted to have a mortgage, fine. But who, the persons who want to have a parcel of land that they can construct their own home, obviously, with some restrictions based on where the land is located, I mean, that should be afforded to them. But there's no way that a politician, having not canvassed the views of the citizens of this country, can believe that he has a God-given right to force upon people in this country with initial houses, and then people got to be paying through the nose when the month comes and for so-called mortgages in this country, because they're the only persons that have become the major beneficiaries of such nonsense is the commercial banks in the country. And the citizens are left feeling helpless. And we've got to move away, Corey, and there's the nonsense that frustrates me in this country all the time. That politicians need to understand that they need to canvass the views of the citizens in the country as to what it is they want. The people were elected, Corey, for the purpose of individuals being able to approach you to say, this is the direction that I would like to see my country in. That is the direction. For too often, politicians believe that they can sit down in Parliament and make decisions on the behalf of the citizens of the country without an input from the citizens of the country. And the foolishness has to stop.
I agree. I would insert, though, that not only canvas the views, but bring research and introduce things. Because one of the things I learned from sometimes canvassing the views of people only regurgitate what they know. Now, as a politician, and some of them are well-traveled, some of them are well-traveling now, one of the things, as you travel, you see ideas and you interact with people. I remember we were supposed to go in some arrangement with Suriname to get lumber, to get these Purple Heart hoses and all these different things. Now, I see HGTV and you see these tiny homes. You see the whole idea of high rise. There are lots of different approaches that can be taken to this particular situation. So my thing is, you put these ideas out there to the public. Some will not be culturally accepted right away because some people like to got these sprawling houses. When the children move away, that you know, it feel like a haunted house. You know, very ghostly with all the space and the 5 bathrooms and 25 bedrooms. But at the end of the day, there's also the concept used by another culture where a lot of the people live, you know, you see the Syrians and so on. A lot of them live together. They live upstairs, downstairs, and they stay close together and utilize one parcel of land. All of these are ideas that can be put, and then you canvas the views of the people about the different ideas. But if you just canvas the ideas just so, they will just tell you basically what they know.
But Corey, in closing, I want to say this. I would like, how does a government explain building not only high-rise, but ordinary housing that start out in the initial stages to be claimed to be affordable homes. But then the rents are astronomical and that they're matching the private landlord, the cost for the rental unit provided by the government is now sometimes on the same wavelength as the private landlord, or in some instances, over. And I'm saying that if government understand the public servant wage bill and they know what they're working for, why would you construct a home and invite somebody to rent it a 2-bedroom at $1,200 where you are running competition, Corey, with the very private landlord? This is nonsense. Mm-hmm.
Your point with that, man. I give you that one. Your point. All right. Thank you very much. I think it's a good discussion. As I told you earlier, I wanted to pull out some information here on International Youth Day. I see here just a little clip from the GIS that they have this thing. It was from 10 to 3 at the gym. Embracing skills, talent, and innovation. When you think about embracing, I think that I would like for more young people to be embraced in these things. You know, I would have liked to send down a couple people there, but I saw it in the paper this morning. And that's not to say it probably wasn't there and they missed it before. But anyhow, as part of the message from the Minister of Youth, Adrian Ford, he said, "My message to young Barbadians is that we have your back. We will work together to ensure your entry into the labor market, build your capacities, and connect them with better working opportunities. We will seek to foster innovation, support young entrepreneurs to create businesses and develop tourism opportunities. We will endeavor to reduce the risks that confront your development and generally create the environment for you to prosper." I just wanted to read that extract, and I'll leave it there. Brastats, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
You know what I got to talk about?
Not a clue. We can have some high words.
You know, probably. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there, because I found the contributions that the people have given today have been really, really good, especially the last couple. And the truth of the matter is, we have a problem in Barbados. And that is when people get into power, that is what they're about. Oh. Keeping power and not dealing. They all of a sudden become islands of the bird to themselves. They do things that are not in consideration of the poor people and with the poor people in mind. And Ms. Motley has said that government is about making choices. And we have to make those choices. And we have to have those discussions with the people. These situations, this has been a year so far. And we have this situation of garbage all over the place still. And people complaining bitterly that they can't get the garbage picked up. And then we hear these sad, oh, well, they don't have any trucks. Or a truck is $100,000 or $200,000. If government is about choices, then you say, how many trucks do you need? Is it going to cost $10 million? Get the $10 million in.
Yep.
Solve and address one problem that you cannot have a problem of this magnitude that has been continuing for years and years and years and years and years. We have the situation with housing and the way in which corruption works. And the way in which the status quo is maintained and people maintain power is by the left hand not knowing what the right hand is doing, or there being confusion about a whole sort of different things. How come nobody can tell me up to now exactly what the situation is at Rock Hall? Whether how many people squatted, when these people came,
who they are.
That is going on and on and on. You have a former minister calling in, saying, oh, this is, like, I mean, bare confusion, bare mud in the waters.
The and MP said, though, he is gathering the data, though. So we what, should.
Pardon me?
The MP said, I read that. The MP said he's gathering the data.
And the MP is gathering the data for a year? How long does it take to send Peter Wickham and his cadres into the area and say, okay, tell me how many people are here, tell me what their nationalities are or status are, blah, 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 blah.
Or if you want it a little cheaper, you can send me, Winnie, and Tallboy.
Thank you. So don't give me that excuse and tell me, oh, we are gathering data. Okay? All that is nonsense. And really and truly, I love brass tacks. I like talk to talk, but it is sad that in 2019, these are the only two institutions we have, more or less, in which people can have a say, can hear about the things that are going on, and that can try to speak and address some of these things that are going on.
But no, you know, we have seen you at countless panel discussions that we do have in the town hall meetings and so on. I do think, though, that we should have more portals and stuff where we can interact. You know, e-government, we were promised the Finland model, where they have things like Citizen Speaks and stuff like that, and that they are monitored and we actually can have some kind of feedback.
And, but go ahead. It's not just that, because when we... This is based on the way we have been educated, in which a teacher stands up at the front of a classroom and dictates everything, and you're supposed to sit down there and not say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that is how it happens whenever we go into these discussions or what have you.
But traditionally, we are takers. Even when it comes to things like consumerism, when it comes to decision making, we are the takers. That's what we are.
Right. And we we let other people dictate what we can do or what are we going to do, whatever. Mm-hmm. This bill, which is going to be discussed tomorrow about medicinal marijuana, and I listened to the excerpt in the news from what the Attorney General is saying. I have said it is wrong, the wrong policy. It makes no sense trying to institute a bill dealing with medicinal marijuana and not dealing also with the status of recreational marijuana. It does not make any sense. First things first, one of the abilities of humans is the ability to think forward in the future and extrapolate what can possibly happen in the future from the events of the past. We have seen that with the illegal nature of marijuana and recreational marijuana especially, over the previous years, the situation has gotten worse and worse and worse. More people have used it, more crime has been committed around it, and more issues have happened historically. So therefore, what do you expect to happen if in next year, if you do not deal and address the situation of recreational marijuana? If you believe that you are going to be able to give licenses to only medicinal marijuana or what have you, and then try to control it, to patrol it or whatever, and to distinguish who then can be victimized more or less, and the continuing victimization of people smoking it for recreational use, as opposed and make the determination as to who's using it, can use it for medicinal use. Are you going to allocate resources to try to do that? And no, you cannot. How can you justify it as well? When you can look at me and tell me, oh, well, you know, medicinal marijuana is safe. Marijuana is safe. Okay? All the research that has shown is that marijuana is safer than cigarettes, than alcohol, than anything. Nobody has ever died from an overdose of marijuana. And yet you can tell me that you are not going to allow people to the recreational aspect of it. You're not going to deal with that there. You're separating the two. Well, we can only pursue medicinal marijuana. This is a way, I have argued, of disenfranchising poor people as well. Because the poor people, the value of marijuana is not, I'm not going to say it's not in the consumption of it, but the advantages for Barbados is in the production and the selling of it. And if you're going to tell me that only certain people are going to be allowed to sell it, okay, you are stopping the majority of poor people that can be involved in the process. You are disenfranchising, and that to me makes no sense. And I'm not here. It boggles my mind when you're trying to tell me you're trying to appease. You're trying to appease an electorate, the churches or what have you. You're trying to appease people who have done, who the only object, they have an objection based on a feeling or whatever, not based on any research, not based on the truth, not based on the events that are happening overseas, not based on the way in which the entire world is moving. And when we should be taking advantage of opportunity as it presents itself right now, we are going to wait till the opportunity has passed us to then say, oh, well, you know, it's gone. Somebody has come and they're already. This has always been, it boggles my mind.
I know that your views should be well known to them because you've had the opportunity here on multiple occasions to express that. And if they're listening, what you may want to do, I don't know if you'll be inclined to, though, would be to submit some form of paper to them. I don't know if you've done it before.
But I have done that already.
Right, see, there you go.
I have done that, and I have outlined a plan, a pathway that Barbados can take in order that everybody benefits from the opportunity that presents itself. No. I did all the research, Corey. You know that about me as well. And you know that when I sat down with you at the beginning of the end of last year, when we had the discussion on marijuana, and I showed you the research that has been done and the evidence that has been, that is clear that anybody can take 2 minutes.
Not me and your research. You sent me a lot of information, which I read, and I try to explain to people here. And some of my good friends in the chat cast me and tell me I know anything about ganja or marijuana. I said, geez, no, your research ain't helped me at all.
And you can't learn. And this is the problem with Barbados. I ran into a friend of mine, one of the ardent people who are opposed to the legalization of marijuana. I ran into her in the supermarket. And we had a brief discussion. And what I begin to realize from her is that the reactions that people have to marijuana especially is an overall reaction to drugs or whatever. A, based on what they, on is an emotional response. So they see people who are on drugs, and then they lump all that the drugs that they're on all together. So they don't make any distinguish between whether a person is on high on cocaine or crack or some other thing, or there's some other issue involved. They don't link. They lump everything together. So as far as they're concerned, they've been told that marijuana is this dangerous drug, so therefore it must be true. Ignore the fact and the research that shows that marijuana is not the same thing as cocaine. On those sort of things.
You know, what would be interesting, and I don't know if my producer can do this, but I have, I was reading a message here, and the only time I want to read it, the phone's going to go up berserk, from Tessa Chatterton Shaw. And of course, she worked in this field for a while. It might be her calling me, so we get her on the line. She said the caller is making a ridiculous plea that I simply cannot comprehend. So I've asked her to come in on the line. And as she can do that, I'm sure we can definitely get some education. I believe we have Tessa on the line. Good afternoon, Tessa.
Good